On part one of this edition of the Nasty Cast, we welcome Yancey Eden from the Dear Mr. Fantasy Podcast. He helps us break down the fantasy value of Tim Anderson, Tim Lincecum, and Michael Fulmer, along with breaking news and bullpens, and then discuss buy high players in our feature segment.
What is this, a fantasy baseball podcast?
Yes!
That's all we talk about on this podcast is interesting things. Jesse, go toss a potato.
Here lies Joe. He died wearing braces.
Be interesting when she has her heavy flow at times.
It's not Nick Nolte.
That damn dirty ape.
You're going to blow Arkansas?
The Hindenburger cheese.
We follow the golden rule.
I'm in a league with the Pope.
Could have been an accountant.
Replace the baseballs with hand grenades.
Thor, he's like Jesus, but for people from Norway.
Eating ain't cheating.
Episode 80 of the Nasty Cast Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by thefantasyamateurs.com. I'm Nathan Dokken. You can find me on Twitter at Nathan Dokken. And I'm joined today by a man who lived up to the name Robo Roto Joto tonight, Joe Osachi.
Yes, Roto Joto. That was going to be my Twitter handle there for a few minutes. And I got it, the viewers out there, they don't realize this yet, but this is by far the worst time we've ever had recording the podcast, and I am currently recording the podcast like I listen to podcasts, just with my iPhone and my headphones and my microphone. So it's pretty weird. I really don't even know what to say right now. It does not feel like the typical podcast.
No. Well, this is the part where you introduce Jesse.
Oh, fine. Okay. So, yeah, I was going to make some joke about Jesse the last time we did this. I'm all out of whack now, but somewhere out there, probably sitting around in Mandan on Skype, as a man, he couldn't tell a kumquat from a kiwi or a cucumber. It's Jesse Jordan.
Is hey, that Jesse. A cucumber?
Either one. We'll find out later, probably, when we get into the fruit discussion.
Is that a joke that I'm supposed to get?
I don't get it either, but, yeah.
Yeah, what's a
cucumber? I make up my own jokes around here, guys. You're the one who copy jokes, so I'm just...
I thought usually
it
was funny.
Yeah, we copy cucumber. Them because they're actually funny.
Yeah. When Jesse makes one of those jokes that I don't get and I don't think is funny, I just roll with it and let him go.
Yeah, but then when you listen to the back on the podcast, you actually laugh. You tell me about it all the time.
And sometimes, maybe like you bat like maybe 250, which is not bad at baseball, I guess.
So, anyways... It was a red velvet trim, and it fit me good. Standing back from the looking glass, there stood a man where a half-grown kid had stood. She said, "Here's your one chance, Yancey, don't let me down. Here's your one chance, Yancey, don't let me down." We have Yancey Eaton.
Woo! Do I talk now, or?
Oh, sorry, yes. Yancey's on
that was stage. Probably the greatest intro we've ever given, so yeah, you better talk after that.
Mm-hmm. So what's up, guys?
Welcome to the show, Yancey. Of course, we all know you from the Dear Mr. Fantasy podcast and random other podcasts recently. So it's good. We've been, for some reason, we haven't had you on the show before. It seems like a bit of a tragedy as you've been one of our staunchest supporters right from the jump. And so we thank you for that, and it's freaking awesome actually getting to talk to you for the first time.
Yeah, you guys don't know this, but we've actually been talking for almost an hour already, even though the podcast actually just started. We had some technical difficulties, nothing on my end, luckily, but here we are. We're recording the podcast. I'm on the Nasty Cast. And like you're right, I discovered the show like two or three episodes in. I went back and listened to the first one. I think you guys are weird and different in a really good way, and I don't know. It's just kind of cool to be on the show. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we are glad to have you. So before we get into everything, we need to tell you to go to Twitter and all that shit. This is where I usually do a transition and nothing is coming to mind right now. So, Yancey, say something funny.
Talk more.
I've got nothing.
what do you do when you're put on the spot? Email us, thefantasyamateurs @gmail.com. Or you can find us on Twitter, @fantasyamateurs. You can also find Joe online, even though he probably won't reply to you, @JoeSachi. And Jesse is @MrJesseJordan. And, of course, Yancey, who has more followers than any of us combined, is @YanceyEaton on Twitter. And he's a terrific follow, so go follow him on the tweet box. Don't forget to go to thefantasyamateurs.com and get yourself a goddamn T-shirt. We're actually getting to the point where we're kind of getting to the bottom of the box. So pretty soon, because we're never doing that again. I mean, before long,
we're never doing that again. That's for sure.
That means they're turning into collector's items now. There's only a few left. There'll never be more in existence. So really, they might be worth like slightly less than they're worth now someday. So you want to get one and hang on to it.
I mean, odds are they're really only going to go down in value as the fabric fades and they get all worse and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, if you buy one, it might be worth, you know, what like a normal T-shirt you could buy at the store is worth. So that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that normally they would be worth almost nothing within the matter of a few months. But there's the off chance that one of us dies and then there's some kind of huge memorial service. And then all of a sudden that brings it almost back up to the value that you pay for it.
Yeah, almost.
Almost. Not quite, but...
Not quite, no.
Okay, and don't forget to go rate and review the podcast on iTunes. If you do that, we greatly appreciate it. So with that out of the way, we're going to go on to the news.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball.
All right, Tim Anderson has been called up by the Chicago White Sox. So what is our outlook for him? And Yancey, our special guest, we'll start off with you. What is your rest of the season outlook for Tim Anderson?
It's not good, guys. It's not looking good for Tim Anderson. I don't think that he should be leading off, which he is tonight, but that's more a testament to Robin Ventura's leadership skills than it is Tim Anderson's offensive prowess. This is not a leadoff hitter. This is not somebody that hits for a high average. This isn't somebody that takes walks. If you guys looked at his stats through the minor leagues, I mean, he's literally hovering around like a 3-6% walk rate every single year. If you look at Zips, it has him stealing 11 bags the rest of the season, but they're very bearish on his playing time. I think they still think that he is he's either going to platoon or just be like a bench bat. But this is a single dimensional player, right? He's going to steal you some bases and he's not going to help you in OBP leagues. And that's basically it. Not a lot of pop and he's not going to take walks. I'm personally not interested. I mean, I have one AL-only league, and it's not even that deep to where I would really consider adding him. But like I said, it's kind of weird that he is leading off the last couple of games, but I don't expect that to last. He's going to be more of like a Michael Taylor, where a little bit of pop, a little bit of speed, but the on base doesn't warrant him actually leading off every single day.
All right. Joe, do you have anything to add to that? And Yancey, by the way, if you ever disagree with anything that we say, just go ahead and cut us off and jump right in. So...
happily. Okay.
Yeah, you know we're just all buttholes here, so.
Yeah, just like we were in traffic, just cut us off. Yeah, that's what I always do. Whenever Nate starts to talk, I usually attempt to cut him off, but yeah, no, I think
you guys act like I don't listen to the podcast. I'm aware. It's fine.
Well, first of all, listen, it's hard to believe that anyone listens to the podcast. So dude, you can understand.
I'm the guy that is listening whenever you guys, like a segment breaks down and you guys are literally saying, wow, you know, I'm sure nobody's listening. And I'm still listening. I'm that guy. So trust me.
That is.
You're the anomaly.
That is crazy, though. I mean, just the fact that there are human beings out there in Florida, for crying out loud, that are listening to us is pretty nuts. But I think what Yancey said about Anderson is pretty much correct. That's I don't like bad plate discipline, and I don't like guys that don't walk. So that's bad. I mean, what he could maybe be is like listening to Yancey talk. I thought maybe he's kind of like a worse version of Alcides Escobar. So if you're looking for that, you know, there you go. But that ain't good.
yeah, there you go. Poor man's Alcides Escobar. That's a ringing endorsement. And, yeah, you know, Yancey, you copped him like Michael Taylor, who I don't like him to begin with. But even he has double-digit power, you know, which I don't even know if Anderson has. So, yeah, I play in a lot of OBP leagues, too. You know, a lot of them with you, Joe. And even Jesse, yes. Now, I guess now that you joined the dynasty, but yeah, I just don't like guys that don't walk either. Sean Segura being pretty much the lone exception, because I just plucked him, you know, out of obscurity and rolled with him that year. So he's kind of my boy for that reason. But yeah, I can't imagine he's going to stick at the top of the order. He's probably going to be a nine hitter. He'll get you some steals. So just because of the stolen bases being so down this year, I think that he warrants an add in like deep leagues, but really I'm not too rosy for him the rest of the season.
Yeah, no, I don't like him in general, but like we talked about last week or the week before, I don't freaking remember anymore. It was on one of the shows, but steals are just really hard to find. So if that's what you're looking for, he'll probably give you a smattering of steals. So, you know, there's that.
There is that.
I do have to ask, what the hell does "I'm not too rosy" for someone mean?
Not too. That means that I'm cold and dead and clammy like Joe's skin is normally. Okay. Pale, lack of pigment.
That's just rude. I have a very nice tan going right now, so long as you don't look, you know, under where I normally wear my shirt. My head is just golden brown at this point.
Yeah. You know, Yancey, you wouldn't know this because you're, you work for a large retailer, I guess. That's what we go with.
This is true.
But you're inside most of the day, that's a correct assumption, right?
During work, yeah, I'm inside, but I do bike and walk to work almost every single day.
Okay, yeah, no, that doesn't count, because Joe and I are outside all day as mailmen, and we can't wear open-toed shoes. We have to wear, you know, closed shoes all the time, sneakers or whatever.
Like elementary school, like they literally make you wear closed-toed shoes.
Yeah,
well, sure, there's a dress code.
And, of course, it actually gets hot here in North Dakota in the summer, so you want to wear shorts most days. And so the tan line that you get right at your ankle, it looks, by the end of the summer, it looks like you're constantly wearing socks because your feet are so white and your legs are so tan. It's just one of the many hazards of being a mailman. It's a tough life, man.
Yeah, and then you wear the button shirt, you know, because everyone has a button-up shirt. So then you get a tan line that goes this, like, little V right on your chest where the button goes, you know, and that's just weird.
The way you guys are talking would imply that me living in a tropical state, the only tropical state in Florida, like, I don't know what tan lines are. Like, I'm intimately aware of tan lines. I have tan lines right now all over my body.
Fair enough.
You can control yours a little more, is what it
is.
I
could wear a V cut and not get a tan line of V because my chest hair would protect it. I do have that manly chest hair, you know.
That is disgusting.
Something Joe doesn't you can only dream about.
Speaking of disgusting, have you ever seen Tim Tacoma pitch? He's plowing through the minors and will debut soon with the Angels of Los Angeles, or Anaheim, you know, somewhere thereabouts. Anyway, Joe, we'll start with you. Are you interested at all in big-time Timmy Jims?
I mean, no, in a general sense. I remember Tim Lincecum, you know. I remember what it was like, and he sucked for quite some time, but I mean, the only hope is that, you know, he took a couple of years off and he found something new, or maybe batters forgot that he throws weird. And I don't know, you know, he's always had that weird motion, and the deception maybe helped him out. But I don't think it's good to be going to the AL if you play in a stupid league that has wins, which I don't like wins. I mean, the Angels suck, so that's not going to be good. It's a decent park, but I wouldn't be betting on him pretty much in anything other than 15-team leagues or only leagues. But there is like a 5% chance, I'd say, or somewhere around there, that he finds some kind of old magic. I mean, I would have never bet on Scott Kazmir either, and then look what the hell happened there.
Yeah, that's fair enough. There is always the you know, the sort of, you add a guy for the what the hell value. Like if you're just in a deeper league and you've got a spot that you've been playing with, you got somebody that just is sucking, and you're like, oh, you know what? You know, there's a non-zero chance that Tim Anderson or Tim Lincecum, you know, is actually decent and has a decent stretch. Because we've even seen bad pitchers like, you know, Chris Young was good last year, for God's sakes.
Yeah, it's hard to. I mean. I don't really want to say he has upside because I don't think he's good. But at the same time, he does have upside in a way because we just have no idea what he's going to do. There's just such an there's a lot of unknown there. I haven't seen him pitch in the minor, so I don't know what he looks like. But I guess he looked good enough for the Angels to sign him, so that's one thing. So, I mean, it's just like it's worth a shot in a deep league if you're owning somebody that's just got no upside. Like if you're – I'm trying to think of, you know, the worst pitcher I can possibly think of, but it's hard to do.
Williams so Perez.
Sure. If you're sitting on Williams Perez, both of them, as I always like to say, I mean, what the hell? Why not? You know, so he has more. There are certain guys that you could be owning and starting that just you know what they are and it's not good. And Tim Lincecum could blow up and have an 8 ERA and be out of the league. But he could also somehow have a magical lucky stretch. So I could see it, but I'm not going to be betting on him in like a 10 or 12 team league.
Yeah, Yancy, so you disagree with any of that?
No, I literally wrote down the exact same thing he said about like the 15 team and up. I mean, if you're in a 10-team ESPN standard league, I mean, don't get cute. There's no point in adding him. People are still going to just because of the name value, and there's like this sheep mentality. They'll see him on like RotoWire that he's getting called up or that he's gonna be starting, and you know people will flock to add him and stuff. Unless you're in a super deep league, I really don't see the utility in adding him. Like I'll give you a specific example of a league where I would. In the one of the Dear Mr. Fantasy leagues that we have, the Richard Mason Memorial League, it's a 16-team league, and we have 30-man rosters, right? It's a head-to-head points league, so of course starting pitching is superior. And literally every single pitcher is owned, every single starting pitcher. Mm-hmm. You know, 6 and 7 starters who are just sitting in AAA, who are kind of like shuttled back-and-forth guys, you know, injury fill-in type players, those guys are owned, you know what I mean? Where like if James Paxton gets called up, somebody had already owned him, you know what I mean? If it's a body, if it's a body in a head-to-head points league, I say go for it. I don't think the upside is there. I don't think his peripherals are going to be particularly strong. We haven't seen him pitch in forever at the major league level. So, like you said, we don't really know what we're getting with him. But I don't see the guy, you know, completely rediscovering himself and just becoming this electric two-time Cy Young winner again. Like, people are definitely – they're just excited because they want him to be good. It's almost like an oddity. Like you see it and it's attention getting and then like it's a good story. But as far as actual fantasy value, I don't think it's there.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm in a league like that where, you know, it's a head-to-head points league and everybody's owned. It's a 16-team dynasty league. So yeah, everybody is owned. And it's just so maddening. Cause I even went to pick up Tim Lincecum because you could put him in your minors since it's a dynasty league. He was long gone. I don't even know if he was dropped from last year, to be honest. So, but that's enough on him. Let's move on to Michael Fulmer, who I believe is on a scoreless streak of 28 and a third innings, if I am recalling that from my memory banks correctly. Anyway, he's just been dominant. And so I thought that it would be proper to play a little dude feud with him.
I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? That or his dudeness or duder or, you know, El Duderino.
Michael Fulmer. Okay, so Joe, you are a guy who has owned...
I am a guy.
Basically everywhere. Are you?
Well, supposedly, yeah. I mean, nobody's really ever seen me. I try and keep myself as invisible to the general public as possible. But
yeah, let's divert real quick. Let's talk about this. What is the story about that? Okay, because Jesse has reached out to me before. Nate's reached out to me. I consider both of them friends. We've talked, you know, off of Facebook and Twitter. I have both of their personal numbers. Like, we've gotten to know each other pretty well over the last year and a half or so. Like, I consider them legit friends. You, however, you're like this little like hermit. Like, I can't find you. Like, you don't mingle with the, you know, with the people. Like, what's the
well
deal?
Okay, like, as far as...
The hermit is terrific, by the way.
Yeah, I'm kind of a hermit. I mean, like, I'm not... In terms of ages, like, Jesse's actually older than me, but I'm kind of like the oldest man, you know, just in spirit. Like, Facebook, you're not going to find me on there because I don't have a Facebook, because I don't want one, and I hate it. I've just never joined it, and I never will. And I couldn't be gladder now at this point, but I realize, you know, that's where a lot of people, the fantasy baseball people do, you know, the groups out there, and I do think it's probably a good thing, but I just can't join because then my great aunt will be adding me and posting things about Donald Trump, and I just don't want to see that. And it's and like, you know, Twitter, I mean, I'm on Twitter, and I think I actually have, you know, sent you some Twitter messages from time to time, but I'm not on my phone all day. I'm just like, I'm kind of old school, so you might send me a message and I just might not notice it for like 3 days. I just really won't. And I'm not trying to be rude or anything, but that's just me.
Yeah, I can confirm that.
You know what this makes me think of? Okay, so for years and years, right, my dad was always the hugest opponent of social networking, right? Whenever all of us kids, we were 15, 16 years old, and MySpace was this huge thing. You know, we all four of us kids had MySpace, and he's like, well, why do you have to check it every day? You know, because we had one computer, and it was dial-up, so we were hogging the computer all day. You know, why do you have to check it every single day? And then my mom said the same thing, and, you know, MySpace is evil. Well, then my mom got a MySpace, and then she became, like, this huge MySpace queen, right? So then MySpace becomes no more, and we all, you know, migrate over to Facebook. And then all of a sudden, you know, my mom's on Facebook, and she uses it all the time, and my dad's just constantly just trashing it. You know, he's just like Joe. He's like, oh, it's stupid. I'll never join it. Like, you guys are wasting your lives. Facebook's what's wrong with this generation. And then out of nowhere, like 2 months ago, he joins Facebook just to kind of like see what's going on. You know what I mean? So he can kind of like throw stones from the inside. And my dad is literally on it more than anybody I know in my like anybody. I have 2,000 something friends, and he is, you know, he's the person who's like sharing like the, you know, share this or Jesus hates you or, you know, for every like I get, like I'll save like a child in a burning building, you know, that type of thing. That's going to be you, dude. Seriously, you're going to get on Facebook.
I don't think so.
That, and you are 100% right, because that's Joe. No. He'd believe it. He'd be like, if I don't, so now I don't I'm share stupid. This, they're going to delete my account. I just got on here. I can't delete it now.
Listen, I would say that that's possible, but I joined Twitter, like whatever it was, 2 years ago when we started the podcast, just literally just for that. I'm like, well, I guess I got to have one of those Twitter accounts because we're at the podcast. Right. And I use it, and I like it, and I, you know, but I'm not obsessed with it.
88-year-old grandma who has a better social media presence than Joe Osachi, who is one that's of our co-anchors true. Of our podcast.
There, every single time that Joe would see one of those, Facebook is about to charge you, copy and paste this or else you're going to be broke. His wallet would be out and open in a heartbeat.
Yep.
I don't know why this turned into Joe is a sucker. I'm not an idiot.
No, you're a sucker. You're just not an idiot.
Fair
enough.
Let's find out if you're an idiot or not by playing this little dude feud.
I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? That or his dudeness or duder or, you know, El Duderino.
This is going to be especially interesting because I'm going to play this game with two guys because we've got Joe and Yancey here. Never done it before. It's a menage a trois of dude feuds.
Wow.
Yeah, like you've never done it with two guys.
I'm going to go back to the corner and just watch.
Judge over there. Jesus.
Guys, I'm having fun. I really
that makes
know.
One of us. Jeez.
We've recovered from a pretty slow start then.
That's good. All right. So because Yancey is our guest of honor, I'm going to start with him. Yancey Eaton, I ask you this, Michael Fulmer or Clayton Kershaw?
You got to start high.
I'm going to go with Clayton Kershaw, but barely.
Ooh, hot take corner over here. Jeez. All right. My gosh. Okay, we're going to go – let's do a struggling quote-unquote ace here, Fulmer or Dallas Keuchel?
Is it still on me?
Yep.
I will go Fulmer because I just don't think the strikeout's going to be there for Keuchel.
Okay, I'll just stick with you for the time being until we sort of find your range here. Okay. How about Steven Wright, who's been miraculous so far?
I mean, it's a knuckleball, right? It's good until it isn't. I'll go Steven Wright, but just barely.
Wow. Okay.
Boy, I think that pick was Steven wrong.
Hey-o. All right.
I'll be here all week.
So no, you won't. You're going to Russia.
No, I won't. Yeah.
All right. Well, we sort of found a spot there. I mean, Steven Wright has been, I mean, like I said, sort of a revelation. So we're talking like top 20 right there, I would say. For you, Yancey, right?
Fulmer? I think top 20 is a little generous. I wouldn't put Steven Wright there. I think I have
really
him.
Like Steven Wright, then.
What's that?
I mean, Wright's numbers right now are really good. So, I mean, I guess I should ask, he is sort of an outlier, so maybe that was a bad player to throw out. So, I mean, do you see a lot of regression from Wright moving forward at all?
I mean, there has to be regression, right? like 100%. There's no way that what he's doing is sustainable.
Well, I mean, not necessarily. You could posit R.A. Dickey in his, you know, Cy Young season.
Yeah, that was a season. That's one season, right? I mean, he can continue it for the rest of the season.
It is defensible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a right hater, but I just have such a hard time getting behind stuff like that because start to start, I mean, you guys have seen it with Dickey. I mean, he can literally have a start where he gives up 7 earned in 3 innings, and then he can throw 8 scoreless the next, right? It's really hard to bank on him. I know he's been super good at the beginning of the season, but some of that just may be like a random variation thing where he's just been really, really lucky at the beginning of the season. I mean, I don't have a ton of numbers to back that up, but it's just really hard with the knuckleballer. Whenever I went and actually looked at some of the rankings and just tried to see where I would kind of put Fulmer in, like rest of season, I kind of have him like between like 35 to 45, between like Tehran, Hendricks, Tanaka, like Tanner Roark, that kind of group. That's where I would start considering is in that little group of starting pitchers.
Okay, yeah, and I actually had looked at Kyle Hendricks myself, and I thought that was sort of an interesting comp right there. So, Joe, what do you think about that, like Kyle Hendricks or Fulmer?
I'd take Fulmer, but I'm a Fulmer believer. Like you said about 10 minutes ago when we started this, I own him everywhere. For me, and I said this the last time we talked about him, I do put maybe potentially too much stock in the eye test, but Fulmer just passes the eye test. You watch one start of his, and he just looks like an ace, and you know, that's led me down the right path in certain situations, and it's led me down the wrong path in certain situations. But
Brandon
I think
Morrow.
If you Brandon Morrow, absolutely the wrong path, yes. Yeah. But there was also, you know, watching Joe Ross in a minor league start before I had ever heard of him, and I'd say most people had ever heard of him. I just watched him, was like, this guy is a pitcher, and I picked him up in a dynasty league where he was unowned. And so sometimes you can just tell just by watching a guy, and I feel that way with Fulmer. So I would take him over Hendricks. I probably would have him closer to top 25 to top 30, whereas Yancey said 35 to 40.
Mm-hmm. Can we add
the only thing
else to this real quick, though?
Sure.
Did you guys take a look at his career numbers at all in the minor leagues? Did you see how many times he's eclipsed 100 innings pitched in his career?
Well, that is a thing. Yeah,
there is innings limits concerned.
One time he eclipsed 100 innings and was 108, and that was in 2012. Yeah. So literally in the last, you know, 2013, 14, and 15, he didn't even touch 100 innings. I mean, so even if they come up, I mean, I'm not sure exactly how many innings he's at now, but is it crazy to think he's going to wind up on the DL again in relatively short notice? Yeah. I don't think so.
He's coming up on 70 innings. So, yeah, he has been, you know, injury riddled in the past in the minor leagues. So, yeah, I don't know. I do like him. You know, that kind of brings up a good question of stability. Like, I was going to say, you know, he's got a lot more strikeout potential now that he's worked on that changeup, and it's really raised his ceiling in my eyes, versus a guy like Kyle Hendricks, who, you know, I think is really safe, good control, but less strikeouts. That's about where it is for me, which I think is, you know, maybe top 30.
I'm fine with that. I guess for me, you know, I get what Yancey's saying. That's totally true. Like, there's no guarantee you're going to have him. Like, you're probably not going to have him till the end of the season. But for me, a lot of times I just look at it, especially with starting pitching, is, you know, I'm going to ride the guy while he's hot. I'm going to take the hot streak. I'm going to use that. I'm going to use him up until I can't use him anymore, and then I'll dump him and I'll find a new guy, you know, because there'll be a whole new batch of good pitchers coming up at the end of the season that you can choose from. So I just think while he's hot and while he's going, I'm going to use him. You know, he might not be able to keep this up for an entire season, so I understand the point there. But I think I think while he's pitching and while he's healthy, he's going to put up pretty close to ace numbers, like number two type numbers.
All righty. Jolly good. That's enough time on him. We're going to move on to closer calamities.
Watch out for that first step. It's a doozy.
All right, we're going to start off in Colorado, where Jake McGee has hit the disabled list, and Gloria Estefan is going to close for the Rockies. So, Yancey, what do you think about her moving forward?
I think she's a lovely, talented Hispanic woman, a strong Hispanic woman, and we're all about – what are we about? Respect for women?
We're all about respect for women, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's not what we do.
It's what we're about, right?
Yeah, it's what we're about, yeah. We don't know. Well, we
don't claim
we
that
do
I need
the podcast.
Gloria. Gloria.
Talking about Estevez, guys.
Carlos Estevez.
So, I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but it's actually really difficult to pitch in Coors, right? And
I hadn't heard.
Yeah, it's very difficult to pitch in Coors. Estevez, I'm looking at his K per nines for his career. This isn't the type of profile you guys want in a closer at all. I mean, this is a temporary fix. He's going to blow saves. I think he actually already may have even blown a save or came close to it. But
could have just said, this guy's going to blow.
Yeah, this this guy's going to blow. I'm not looking to add him at all, even in like super deep leagues, because I think this is a very temporary thing. He's just kind of bridging the gap until they have somebody else coming back. I know that Adam Ottavino is on rehab assignment. I think he's in Modesto right now, like on assignment. He has been for about a week. So, I mean, I'm not sure how close he is to returning, but I just think that this is a stopgap, and I'm not looking to add him anywhere.
God, it's like music to my ears hearing the name Adam Ottavino. One of my favorite pitchers. Love that guy.
I do love him too.
Yeah. But yeah, I agree with Yancey. I don't think, like, in our Dynasty League, Nate threw $21 at him or whatever because he's a closer whore. God, he wants 80 closers if he can get them, but I agree. I think it's temporary.
You got to get them all, Joe. It's just like Pokemon. You got to get them all.
You know, the worst thing is I know exactly what he's going to do. He's going to wait 2 weeks, and he'll trade this crappy closer who's about to lose his job for, like, a stud outfielder. I don't know how he does it. He does it every time. But I don't think there's anything there. You might get yourself a few saves, but what could it cost? I chased the Colorado saves thing last year with John Axford and all those other pieces of shit that they had out there, and it did not do me any favors to chase saves in Colorado. The only guy that I really would, like, McGee's fine. You know, I think he was doing all right until he had that absolute abomination where he gave up, like, 5 runs in the third of an inning. But I do still
paying attention then, because his strikeout rate was way down. It was like,
well, whatever. He was last year. He was saving games for you. He was plugging you in some saves into the save category. How about that?
He did have 15 saves with a delicious 4.98 ERA.
Yeah, I mean, but whatever. Saves are saves are saves. So he was doing that for you. But I think
saves are saves. How was the closer situation for you in Colorado last year? You were just bitching about it.
Yeah, but at least when I was chasing all those saves in Colorado and adding all these, do you know how many saves I actually got out of that? I think maybe one. At least with McGee. Like, I was adding all the, and I never got a guy when he actually had the job. So at least with McGee, you got 15 saves. That's my only point. But I think eventually, probably after the All-Star break, sometime around there when Ottavino's back, I do think he'll get the job. And he could actually be good in the role.
Right, yeah. We've seen with Tommy John surgery guys before that they do tend to get nicked up. And I guess I didn't put that in the rundown, but Yu Darvish, we just saw him, you know, hit the disabled list. And if you think to a lot of the Tommy John guys that come back, a lot of them hit the disabled list in that year back. You know, Matt Harvey, we had I just lost the name of the other guy that came to mind right away. But, Jose Fernandez, you know, we saw him hit the disabled list again. A lot of these guys have, you know, they compensate in their delivery and then they sort of re-injure something else in their body. And so I don't think Ottavino is a sure thing necessarily. I do like him, his profile better than Gloria Estefan's. But, I mean, yeah, I think that he's worth adding for the short term anyway, because you don't know necessarily when McGee's going to come back, if he's going to be effective when he comes back. And, you know, you're not entirely sure how effective Ottavino is going to be either when he gets back. So, yeah, see, you've sent me a sad face, a crying face emoji, Joe. Sorry.
Did I?
Like that. Yes. Well, unless that was somebody else. I don't know. I don't know Skype well enough. Somebody cried.
I did not send that. Normally I am the guy, but I can't do it on my phone. I'm just on my phone, man.
Oh. Anyway, so that's my thought. I think, like you said, you know, I spent $21 or whatever out of a $100 budget. So, I mean, you never know exactly how long he's going to be closing. I think if he's successful, he's going to have a fairly decent leash, but yeah, the walks are pretty ugly. ERA is, you know, it's pretty bad too, but at least he's a strikeout guy. So he's not like a Ziegler or something like that, that is practically a negative as far as that category goes. So, I guess moving on to Minnesota, we've got the Twins quote unquote bullpen. What the hell's going on there exactly? Yancey, we haven't heard your voice in a little bit. Let's start with you again.
Man, you guys' bullpen is in rough shape, huh?
It's not good.
It's not good.
Yeah, as a random dog barks.
Was that an F-bomb?
That wasn't my. I believe that's my sound.
Yeah, yeah. You got to drop an F-bomb at some point just so you get yourself assigned a noise.
I've never done that on podcasts before. I'm always afraid my mom's listening, but maybe that's a.
Don't. But we'll edit it out.
Your
we'll
mom may listen with... to the No Nasty Cast.
And we've actually said, like, everybody that comes on, I can't remember who swore, somebody like P's a P or something, but we have to give everybody their own noise.
Nobody's dropped an F-bomb yet.
None of the guests? Oh, nope. Really? That's too bad.
Never happened.
Weird.
All right.
Okay. So. Well, I'm not going to lie. I wasn't too informed of the Twins bullpen situation, so I went to Roster Resource and was taking a look at it. You guys' closer right now is Brandon Kinsler, who is 32 years old, right? And I added him in one league because he was just sitting there, and this is a 16-team league, and nobody wanted him. here's another guy, just like the last thing we just talked about, Estevez, does not profile as a closer at all, right? At all. I mean, you guys are in really rough shape. It's going to be a long season. Fernando Abad, he's next in line basically to be a closer. Of course, he's a lefty. Probably has better stuff. Correct? Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, I mean, none of these guys are really
comparable.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they, from what I understand to this point, they're going to play matchups between the two of them, lefty-righty okay. matchups. But yeah, I mean, Kinsler to me is just sort of a guy. It's like Genmar Gomez in Philadelphia, right? He was just sort of a guy, and he ended up being a closer by default almost because they had no better options. I was like, well, what the hell? Let's throw Genmar in there. And he's been good all season. So, I mean, at least there's that. But Kinsler to me, yeah, and Abad too, they're just sort of guys. I don't know. Joe, do you feel any different?
I would take Kinsler over Abad just just from watching them and seeing what I've seen. I think he's got at least a decent fastball. I mean, I don't know. He's not what you want in a closer, that's for sure. But I'd probably take him. But if I'm in at least a shallow enough league where I don't have to worry about it, I certainly would not want to worry about it. I mean, I don't really know why the Twins are as bad as they are, but they're just bad, and the things aren't getting better. I keep thinking things will get better, and they don't. So, you know, there's not going to be many wins to save anyway.
Is this going to become the new Cincinnati Reds topic?
Maybe.
Boy, it's just about to that level.
I think, yeah.
Well,
the
bullpen part of it is, I'd have to say.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
By the way, Joe, did you see who got a save the other day?
Oh, yeah, I did, actually. Ross
Ohlendorf. Ross Ohlendorf, your favorite player.
Yeah, it is the first of the season. I mean, you like, anointed him the closer, like, a month ago. But
I did not. I said he was next in line behind Cingrani, and he's only blown, like, three of them. So that's good enough for the Reds.
It is. That's a hell of a bullpen out there,
Ross
too.
Ross Ohlendorf is still the best, like, in our home league, he's still the most famous pitching name. Just because of that situation you've explained 1,000 times on this podcast.
Yeah, we've told the story before.
So, like, our all-time listeners, the ones who listen forever, they might as well just be in our home league because it's...
I could probably find a spot for him next year, usually.
I might give up mine on the home league.
Yeah, exactly. Jesse will probably quit soon enough. So, yeah, we can let you... Yeah, or I'll kick him out. So
I'm
going to
play
three
two-star pitchers this week, so you better watch out there, Joe.
Wow. Don't outdo yourself.
I saw I was playing Jesse, so I was just like, well, we got a week off in this league. I'm not even paying attention.
I have five pitchers going today, buddy.
Oh, man, I should be scared.
Which is seven already on the week, and it's only Tuesday.
I'm in trouble.
I will say
before we move on, on a personal level, I really hope that Fernando Abad is, like, just suddenly out of nowhere becomes a lockdown closer, because he would have a great catchphrase. I mean, after every save that he locks down, the announcer could go, "He's been a bad boy." Nice. Isn't that great?
No, I mean, that was terrible.
I thought you were going to say he's a bad man. Like, he's a bad man.
Come on, motherfucker.
Oh, no.
Oh, sorry, Jesse. Terribly sorry. All right, moving on to the Nats bullpen.
You officially became the worst fantasy baseball player bloop writer. I praised you big time on Twitter this week, and now I hate you. So you can move on now.
I've anti-redeemed myself. Oh, that reminds me, actually, as long as you casually brought up that topic, I announced to you guys being Jesse and Joe. But hey, Yancey, I got a new fantasy baseball job.
The Fantastics?
He's all over the place.
Well, besides Fantastics, I will also be working for Fantasy Alarm moving forward. So everybody
wow.
can...
Wow.
Yeah, I'll be
a
colleague. I'll be working over there with, well, not directly with Joe Pizzapia, but he works there too, so that's cool. You know, along with...
Howard Bender does as well.
Howard Bender, yep. We had him on the show.
So, Mike Seacon is still over there at Fantasy Alarm. There's a lot of good guys at Fantasy Alarm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Ray Flowers. Bunch of guys. So, yeah, I'll be doing some player analysis over there, so you can go check that out. It's just like, it's not going to be very much for now, but moving
so
forward.
So are you quitting your day job? Are you still going to deliver postal items or what?
Yeah, I'm not going to be quite able to support myself just through fantasy quite yet.
Okay. I don't think, to be fair, Nate doesn't deliver very much mail to begin with. Very little.
I was going to say, this is his day job. So once he quits the Nasty Cats, Yancey, you better throw in your resume, you know, to work with Joe and I, because we're not going anywhere.
After tonight, Yancey does not want anything to do with this podcast or you guys.
Probably not.
No, we've guaranteed that. Okay, shut moving up. On to the Nationals bullpen, finally. We've seen Jonathan Papelbon hit the disabled list today with an intercostal strain. At least the last time that I looked it up, we didn't have a timetable for him yet. I don't know if there is one. So we've got Sean Kelly recorded the first save last night. So, Joe, we'll start with you. Do you think he's the guy moving forward, and do you like him?
Listen, I saw a quote from Dusty Baker, and he said they're not going to have a closer yet. They're just going to go with whatever guy they feel comfortable with that day. And I believe him. They're just kind of going to play. They're going to wing it, you know, whoever they think is looking good. But, yeah, Sean Kelly got the first save, so he's the closer. You know, Dusty Baker is a liar like they all are. So I think Kelly's the closer. Don't throw your fab at Emilio Estevez, but you could throw it at Sean Kelly. It was like a four or five out save his first day with, I think a five out save with four strikeouts. You know, he's actually a guy I would get excited about. I would spend to get him. Not a ton. I mean, you don't want to go overboard because, like you said, there is no timetable for Papelbon yet. But I think it'll probably stretch past the minimum DL stay just because it's, you know, intercostal strain. I don't know. There was no timetable. I have no clue. But it does feel in your foot. But it does feel like an injury that could linger, doesn't it? Just from the sound of it, you know?
It is, yes, one of the types of injuries that can linger. Let's ask Yancey Eden, who's our in-house doctor.
Yes, Dr. Eden.
Yeah, trust me, I'm a doctor. I added him. I added Sean Kelly in one league. I mean, I think he's fine. I don't think he's a fantastic reliever by any means, but is he better than Estevez? I mean, or Kinsler? You're damn right he is, right?
Yeah.
I got offered in an industry league. I won't say which one because I want to sell this dude out. But he today, he sent me a trade proposal with Jonathan Papelbon, right? So he broke like one of the unwritten rules of fantasy baseball trade etiquette where he knew a guy was hurt and he was hoping that I hadn't found out yet and was trying to get like, I don't know, like Corey Dickerson, like C. Dick or something, right? And of course,
well, he should know you're never giving him up.
Oh, yeah, I'd rather die, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, I thought about it and I'm like, you know, hey, you know, C. Dick has been dog shit. Like maybe I want to get somebody else in here. You know, I need saves really bad. And then I'm just thinking like, no, let me take a look at this. Let me just make sure. And of course, you know, there's an injury and he's going to DL and stuff like that. But kids, if you're listening at home and you're new to fantasy baseball, don't do that. I mean, don't burn bridges like that. That is the cheesiest, just the trashiest thing you can possibly do. Right. I was in the middle of a trade talk a couple weeks ago, whenever there was like that weird in between with Steven Matz where they thought that he was like potentially injured and, you know, they were saying he was and he wasn't and like nobody knew what to do. And, you know, I was like 90% done with this trade proposal and it was centered around Matz and I completely backed away, not because, you know, I wasn't getting a good deal or anything, but because is it really worth it, especially like in a dynasty or keeper league where you're having to deal with these guys for potentially years? You know, like this is the fourth year of my league. Like, do I want to burn having a potential trade partner for life because, you know, I'm going to trade somebody that I know to be injured?
Yeah, some people are just there. Like, I guess they just want to win that bad and they just get blinded by it. But, you know, I had the same type of thing. I was in an inner dynasty league and I had a deal with another guy, totally worked out. And one of the players was Nick King, a minor leaguer. And then he had Tommy John while it was going on, and I, like, I don't know if the guy knew it or not, but I sent him a message. He said, "Hey, Kingham, you know, sounds like Tommy John. You know, you still want to do it or not?" And, you know, we ended up taking him out and putting in another player. But I didn't want the deal to go through with a guy having Tommy John in it just because it would look bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
You don't want to be that guy. I will say that Joe and I, we had textual conversations earlier this year regarding the trade between us of Jonathan Papelbon in a certain league, and it was only at that point that I realized how down his numbers were this year. His strikeout rate was substantially down, and mm-hmm. so I'd been looking for the Papelbon handcuff, you know, leading up to this, but I hadn't added Sean Kelly anywhere. I had established that it was going to be Sean Kelly, and he's been putting up tremendous numbers this year, but I hadn't added him anywhere because it's Dusty Baker, like you said. Like, he could blow 7 saves in a row, and only then would possibly he be removed from the closer's role. You know, the stubbornest guy ever, Dusty Baker. So I hadn't actually rostered Sean Kelly anywhere. And so it kind of drives me up a wall that all of a sudden he's just injured and out for an extended period of time, just like that. And
I'm that left happened with, very quickly.
Yeah, and I'm left with very few shares of Sean Kelly. I did manage to add him in a couple places. He's actually got, if you look at his swinging strike rate, it's sitting at 17.7% right now, which is 5th among all relievers in baseball right now. And he's just got a ton of strikeouts, and he's had elite walk rates so far this year. So I think that really he could be a terrific closer moving forward. It just depends on whenever Papelbon gets healthy. You know, and it's hard to gauge right now. So, yeah, I'm definitely on board with you guys. I would be throwing more money at Sean Kelly than I would be at any of the other guys, because they're just sort of guys, like you said. So this guy, Sean Kelly, could actually be pretty good. We're going to take a quick break, and we shall be back with our feature segment. Back into the nastiest of casts, and we have breaking news into the show. Jesse, play that breaking news drop.
Hey, you, stop what you're doing and listen to this podcast and the news that's about to come up.
That was the best one yet, I think.
Yep, you're getting better. All right, so we've had Taiwan Walker has left his start with shoulder pain. Yancey, what is your knee-jerk reactive analysis to this horrible information?
Well, I have him in 90% of the DFS lineups I have going tonight. So my first thought was a selfish one, thinking about my own financial well-being. And my next thought was, oh, I also own him in 3 leagues in season long, so I quickly swiped up Vidal Nuno to supplant him in my lineup. I don't know, man, if they said he was grasping his shoulder and looked in like obvious pain. I don't know exactly what the injury is. I'm sure we'll find out overnight, but doesn't look good for the Mariners at all.
No, I don't. I don't immediately have a replacement off the top of my head that comes to mind.
Well, he did just give you one.
Well, the director, I mean, they're not going to really roll out Vidal Nuno as their starter for weeks to come. I mean, do you think so?
Well, I mean, they already called up James Paxton, right?
Yeah, I mean, who's next in line in, like, AAA? Maybe, what's his name that came up last year and was good for a while and then he sucked?
Maurer?
Lord Almighty.
No, he's gone.
Montgomery.
Brandon Maurer's gone. Oh, God, that'd be
Mike
good.
Montgomery?
He was out of the bullpen, though. Man, we don't know who plays for who.
I'll dive into their depth chart here and see if anybody interesting pops up. But we have breaking news number 2. We have, of course, Joe's boy, the great Gerardo Parra, apparently was taken out by Trevor Story. The card is coming on the field to take him off. Foot ankle injury. What do you think, Joe? Is this going to be a playing time situation for somebody?
Is this life-ending news for me? I tell you what it is. It's more reason for me to hate Trevor Story, who I already hated. But I can't think of a direct benefit. I mean, I hate to speculate while we really know nothing. I mean, we could get back and they'd be like, yeah, it turns out he just hit him in the balls. It really hurt, but he's fine. I don't know. I haven't seen the clip or anything. So, no, I mean, I don't have anybody off the top of my head. But, I mean, I really hate that Trevor Story. That's my main point. That son of a bitch.
Anything coming to your mind right away, Yancey? I don't happen to own Gerardo Parra anywhere. Unlike Joe, I wasn't hugely into him this preseason.
Not immediately. I mean, I know they have a bunch of weird platoon bats. They always do. So I wouldn't be looking to add any one specific person. If you're in a daily league, just kind of watch lineups and stuff. I don't think they're going to have like a surefire candidate they can call up. I mean, don't they have one kind of top prospect outfielder like David Dahl or somebody like that?
Maybe they do have Dahl.
I doubt they're not in contention. I don't understand why they would burn, you know, start the service time clock with him, but I don't know. We'll see. It's so early. We literally just saw this like 5 minutes ago, guys. So this is very reactive. There's really didn't give us a whole lot of time to dig into it, but just know that, hey, Gerardo Parra is hurt.
Yes, and at the very least, it gave us a chance to play that great drop, the breaking news drop.
Yep, that was great.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to get into our feature segment there, and that is Buy High Guys. And, Joe, this was kind of your idea. We had a couple years ago. We've done it each year since. So if you want to set up sort of what we're going to do here, what we hope the Bucketeers get out of it, and also just go ahead and kick us off with your first guy.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't have any order for him, but yeah, this was, I actually believe in this as a concept, I guess, because especially with like the more serious of the fantasy players and the guys that are out there always looking to buy, you know, to sell high and buy low, and sometimes guys get a little bit too caught up in that, and so I just think every once in a while, when every single person in the world is looking to sell high, then if you believe in the guy, then go ahead and buy high. And that was kind of the concept. If you believe in the guy, you might as well buy high. So I think the first guy I'll kick it off with, a guy that I talked about a ton in the preseason, and his value is obviously at a very high point because I'm not exactly sure where he ranks, but Nick Castellanos was probably my favorite. I said his name a ton of times on the third base preview show, and I loved him a lot. And, you know, he's definitely at a high point of value. He's already got 12 home runs, and he only hit 15 off last year. But I believe in his power, and I believed in him preseason. I haven't seen anything to change my mind, so that would be my first guy.
All right. Yancey, who's your first guy?
My guy is also at 12 home runs right now, and it's kind of weird because this team was actually actively shopping him all offseason, and that is one Marcell Ozuna, the right-hander from Miami. Currently a 143 WRC+, so he's 43% better than average, and he has a 909 OPS, right? Pretty crazy. He's obviously a lefty masher. Everybody knows that. But he's actually made like serious gains against right-handed pitching. He's actually batting .298 with 7 homers against right-handed pitching, which is just fantastic. So, I mean, it's one of those things where I like to compare him to kind of like a Logan Forsythe, where the last 2 years Logan Forsythe has just been gangbusters because he went from being strictly a platoon bat against lefties to, hey, he can actually hold his own and hit league average against righties as well. And I think Ozuna's just fantastic, and the sky's the limit with this guy. Like, I think, perennial 30 home run power, and he's going to swipe some bags, score a bunch of runs. Love Marcell Ozuna, and I'm buying high.
Absolutely love that call. I actually looked at him, too. One of the guys, I'm actually watching my first guy right now, and that's Dexter Fowler for the Cubs. He's been terrific so far this year. Oh, I've gone too far. I just lost this page.
Damn, what do you mean you've gone too far?
In my forward and backing.
I thought like maybe you'd like accidentally murdered someone.
Yes.
I've gone too far.
I only meant to maim him, and instead I chopped off his head instead of his leg.
Exactly. Sometimes you're just looking to injure and you accidentally murder. But anyway, on with your Dexter Fowler.
I was in the heat of the moment.
Yeah, it's a jury will understand.
I think so. They'll also understand Dexter Fowler is awesome, and he's totally legit. 7 bombs and 6 steals so far was what I was trying to call up. No platoon splits at all. I mean, obviously the BABIP at 362 is pretty high, but he's got 342 career BABIP, actually. So, you know, maybe it's not really that high. Although, you know, it's a little bit rocky fueled, I suppose. But a guy who went 17-20 last year, and he's on pace to do that again so far with just a terrific Cubs lineup. So if you find anybody in your league that thinks that he's going to drop off, I mean, even after his great year last year, he went really late in draft. So if you got somebody in your league that's sort of looking to cash in on their profit potential from draft day, he's a guy that I'm totally confident will keep up the pace to you know, for the over the course of the rest of the season. So Joe, who's your next feller?
Yeah, next up, I mean, the other thing that's nice to do if you're buying high is if you can give the guy that you're buying from a reason. You know, like you said, I don't know the Dexter Fowler reason, but, you know, Marcelo Zuna, you know, at least, at the very least, you can remind him of his last season. You know, give him a reason that they'd want to sell high. I mean, they think they're selling high anyway, but they're really not in your mind. I guess for me, I'd go with Danny Valencia, who's a guy that I've loved all since the preseason. And everybody, whenever I hear his name mentioned, all the people say is, oh, yeah, he just crushes lefties. Just a lefty killer. Lefty, he just splits. Well, he's hitting .419 against lefties. He does crush lefties, 5 homers against them. And he's great against them, but he actually is hitting .308 against righties with 5 home runs. So I don't really think it's an issue anymore. Yes, he's better against lefties, but he's not bad anymore against righties. So I don't really see the problem. So I think he's totally legit, and I think there's a lot of people out there that still think of him as a guy that has really bad splits, and he really doesn't.
Yeah, not the last 2 seasons. So, yeah, no, I like it. I feel like the fantasy community as a whole has been sort of slow to come around to him. Although I did, when I played DFS, I think it was just yesterday, and he was squaring off against a lefty. He was, I think, far and away the most expensive third baseman. So they know what's up anyway.
Well, yeah. So. When he does crush lefties, I can't argue with that. It's just because he does do that, when you're hitting for the season .308 against righties, like what's the problem? That's certainly not bad.
It's not, yeah, it's not the smallest of sample sizes anymore when you look at it with last year's. So
yeah, last year was. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Yancy, who's your second guy?
Just real quickly, I wanted to also add that Longo just crushed a 3-run dong like you guys would not believe. So I was temporarily distracted, but I know you guys don't give any kind of care about the Rays, but that makes me very happy.
Apparently Dickerson hit a homer tonight too, so
okay. Yeah, he did. See Dick Dong, the longest homer by a Rays hitter all year.
Wow, really? How long was it?
Long, it was so
how long,
long.
Was C-Dick song?
How long was that dong? Oh man. I feel like we're not that kind of show, but maybe we are.
I think you'd be surprised.
I feel like I should interject here, but I won't.
Okay. Yeah, probably.
Please,
a good
don't
call.
Interject on the dong.
Yeah. Because if I did, like, it'd be the worst podcast ever.
Probably.
Okay. All right, where are we at? What are we doing right now?
We're on you.
You're number two guy.
Yeah, you're number two.
My number two guy is actually Jose Abreu. So you were talking about how you got to give somebody a reason to want to trade somebody, right? To want to sell high on somebody. Obviously, sure. Jose Abreu got off to a super slow start. Even as Chicago came out of the gates, kind of firing on all cylinders, like Jose Abreu was the one cog in the lineup that really wasn't getting it done, and it had a really bad first month and a half of the season. In the last couple weeks especially, he's raised his slugging percentage by almost 50 points. He's getting on base at a much better clip. I think he has 3 or 4 home runs in the last week, like really starting to put it all together at the exact, you know, just perfect time. Obviously, you love the home park, you know, playing in the cell and stuff, and they're going to need all the runs they can get with James Shields pitching every fifth day. Good Lord. So I'm a big fan of Abreu. He's one of those hitters where he's super, super streaky, right? And he'll have a month that will just carry his whole season and just smooth out that, you know, whatever his line looks like at any point in the season, he'll go on a bender and just completely redeem himself, right? Just when you think he can't get any worse, he does this and completely redeems himself. So Jose Abreu is my number two guy. I'm looking to buy high.
Yeah, and I mean, I think a lot of people are slow to notice that stuff as well. So he could even be considered a buy low, in my opinion.
Definitely. I don't think the perception of him is that he's having a great year. That's for sure.
Right. Yeah, so you're kind of buying high and low on him. And yeah, he is a guy, along with actually in the aforementioned 16-team Dynasty Points League that I play in, I own Abreu is my first baseman and Votto is my corner infielder. And he's a guy who's pretty much had the same thing going on. He's just been absolutely horrible, you know, to this point in the season. And he's been, I guess I haven't been following real close, like, you know, you mentioned the most recent stats from Abreu, but Votto's been so bad. I feel like he's been heating up a little bit lately, but he's a guy who I have really a lot of confidence in him rebounding over the course of this season.
Yep,
well, Votto for sure has been hitting for at least a decent amount of power. I mean, it was really the batting average that was lagging behind, but I mean, I think he might already be at double digit home runs, which for Joey Votto, you know, he'll take it already.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at the strikeout and walk rates too, his strikeout rate has surged up to just under 26% this year, where he's never been even above 20% at any point in his career before that. So you could point to that as well, you know, is a good way to buy low. And I mean, first base is really crappy this year. So if you can get a hold of a guy like that, I think it could be a huge boost for you for the rest of the season. And that brings us to my second guy, who is third baseman for the Diamondbacks, Jake Lamb. He's really sort of establishing himself out there, playing third base, often hitting cleanup or fifth in a pretty decent order there. So he's up to 39 RBI right now. A guy who's shown good patience in the minors with his double-digit walk rates, you know, strikeout rates in the low to mid-20s, which is not a huge detriment in the state of today's game. 301 BABIP right now. He's hitting, slashing 263, 349, 531 with 12 bombs. He does have a really inflated home run per fly ball ratio at 25%. So the home run pace will slow down for sure. But he is a guy whose calling card has been power, you know, coming up through the minor leagues. And I have full confidence that, you know, he's at 12 home runs right now. It seems to be the number for the night. But I do think that he can hit 20. And from the third base position, get a lot of RBIs, good on base percentage, you know, good average. I feel very confident that Jake Lamb will continue to be about this good, you know, for the rest of the season. So he makes for a good buy high guy for me. So, Joe, I don't know if you have any thoughts to that, or if you want to just move on and give us your third guy.
I love Lamb.
Okay, I should have known that was coming.
I say that every time, but yeah. So my third guy, no, yeah, I don't know. I don't have any disagreements, but I do love Lamb. My third guy is somewhat, it pisses me off to put him on the list because
Nolan Arenado.
No. But yeah, that guy, he pisses me off too. No, Trace Thompson would be my third one. He would be a person to me, like, I just wrote down like 27 names of people that were buy high, and I don't know who you guys are going to say, but like, to me, an obvious one would be Adam Duvall. I mean, if you believed in it, I don't, because he doesn't walk, but you know, the power's there. So this is a hot start. So like, if you really believe in him, I bet his owner is probably trying to sell high. And it's possible that Trace Thompson's owner is going to be thinking about selling high because he came out of nowhere. I mean, and they might be thinking that it's really not sustainable. But I do think that it is. I mean, he's right now, he's got a 12% walk rate, which is actually it's comparable to what he did in the minors there, and I think he can keep that up. And right now his BABIP is actually kind of low, and his batting average. My wife just walked downstairs, and she's looking at me like I'm an alien because I'm talking about BABIP. Because so. I'm not in the computer room. Normally I'm in there shutting the door, and now I'm on my phone just in the living room, and yeah. She is not exactly looking at me like I'm a handsome man right now. She's looking at me like I'm a very huge dork. And she's probably right. But anyway, yeah.
Which, if you didn't have the headphones on plugged into your phone and talking to yourself, you she'd still look at you like you're a huge dork.
Fair enough. But yeah, no.
I'm speaking from experience.
Yeah, well, yeah. I can't argue with me being a dork, but... The bottom line is, I think Trace Thompson can probably keep it up. So, yeah, buy high.
Do you have any concerns about him losing playing time when Yasiel Puig comes back?
No, I actually think that they trust him. I mean, he'll lose some, I'm sure. I think it'll kind of turn into like a, a four-man outfield, but I think he's going to get to play a majority of the time. He's been so much better than Puig or than any of them. He's been practically their best hitter. How can they sit him every day? Like, I think they got to play him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's their best course of action, too. I don't know what they're going to do with Puig when he comes back, but I really can't see how you could bench Trace Thompson at this point.
Well, it is a little confusing, right? Because, like you said, Puig is coming back, so that could potentially eat into his playing time a little bit. Scott Van Slyke is back, so that's another outfielder. And then today they just signed Will Venable to a major league deal, not even a minor league deal, so he's going to be on the major league roster. So all of a sudden, you know, just as soon as they clear a little bit of space with, you know, DFAing Carl Crawford, just like that, they sign someone else and they have another, you know, two more bats coming back from the disabled list. And I don't know. I mean, has he been their best hitter so far next to maybe Corey Seager? Yeah, I think so. But I mean, the way they've handled their bats all season has been very speculative. And I'm not really sure he's going to have just completely consistent playing time.
Yeah, I do think that would be a little bit of a concern. Although, I mean, Jock Peterson, he hasn't been any great shakes either. But yeah, it's a very convoluted outfield out there. It's, you know, sort of like Arizona, to be perfectly honest. But thankfully, Lamb plays third base. So,
I did all those things that we said though are reasons that, like, for me, like I just think he's probably their best. So that you can say all that stuff and that just drives his price down in a trade.
This is true.
Perfect. All right. Yancey, who's your – what are we on, third guy now? Who's your third guy?
Third guy. Real quick, I just wanted to circle back on what you guys were talking about with Votto, just for laughs or whatever. In his last 30 days, he's batting .260, .378, .540. So he's slugging .540, which is pretty good for Joey Votto. His OPS is .918, so he's been a top 30 player for the last month. So he did rebound just like we thought he would. So
whamma-lamma ding dong.
Yep. Somebody's gonna go to his they're gonna go to his player page and they're gonna just look at his season stats and not be, you know, intimately aware with what he's been doing the last 30 days. And I think that's somebody that you could actually buy. Like, I'd be looking to buy him just about anywhere, to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
But anyways, going to my third guy, it's kind of weird that all of us didn't have any overlap, isn't it?
So far, you better not jinx it and take my last guy.
That's possible, well, yeah.
My last guy is Trumbo. Was that your guy?
Oh, no.
No. Okay, cool.
Nate's last guy is Will Myers.
No, it's not. Although we just mentioned two of my dudes from the preseason, Will Myers and Mark Trumbo.
And Mark Trumbo. Will Myers should have been your guy. Good Lord, he's on fire right now.
Yeah, he's been great. Well, my third guy is Mark Trumbo, and he already has 20 home runs, which is fantastic. So, I mean, realistically, I mean, he could hit 40 home runs this year. You like that he plays in, you know, the middle of a fantastic lineup. You like that he plays in Camden Yards half of his games. What's really weird about his splits is the fact that
you can't talk.
Yeah. Are we, Joe? Is that your wife?
Yeah, she looked at me and she's like, "You are an alien. Can't you talk?" Because I was, she's like, standing, she's like asking, or like looking at me like she wants to talk, but I can't talk because you guys will hear it.
Yeah,
so I walked away.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
You can't click so that the mute button.
I don't know how to do that. I'm on my phone.
he's using headphones. Anyway, you railroaded Yancey.
Yeah, I didn't know whether to keep talking. I'm like, does anybody else hear this, or is this me?
I didn't know how close you were. Sorry. I found the mute button. I'll hit the mute button next time.
Perfect. Just don't hang up. So, okay. So, circling back to Mark Trumbo then, you think 40 home runs is a possibility?
I do, okay, and this is why. So Mark Trumbo can kind of hit righties pretty well. He can hit lefties. What's really weird about his season so far, he has a .262 batting average versus southpaws, right? That's his career average. This season, he's only hitting .185 versus lefties. So, I mean, he's batting almost .300 on the season, and that's .185 versus the other side, which he normally hits much, much better. So I actually think that there's a lot of growth there. His BABIP isn't outrageous or anything like that. He's hitting the ball really, really hard. So you got to think, if he can get up to his career average versus lefties, or even raise it by 20 or 30 points, I mean, you can see that average tick up a ton by 15, 20, 30 points. And I mean, I think the power is just going to continue coming. He's been fantastic. There hasn't been that, you know, that month long slump or that week and a half long slump. He's basically hitting a homer every three games, and I'm looking to buy high.
Interesting. So you're not worried? He's been typically throughout his career, he's been a first half hitter, and he's typically been a guy who's trailed off in the second half. So you're not worried about him tailing off at all?
I'm not worried about him tailing off because I can't remember where I read the article, but they were talking about his conditioning where he's doing a lot more core stuff and calisthenics stuff. Like his whole approach as far as like working out and everything is completely different. And I just think that he's kind of, I know this sounds super corny, but I mean, he's kind of grown into his body just a little bit, not nearly the type of, you know, crazy aggressive hitter at the plate. He's just so much more controlled. I think he stays healthy. I don't see him having that, you know, that late June swoon or something like that we're used to seeing in the past.
Interesting. All right. I think out of all of them that we've talked about here so far today, I would be, I mean, sort of the most nervous, not pessimistic or anything on Trumbo, but, you know, just the fact that his strikeout rate is at an all-time high, and I feel like that could have
barely,
an impact.
But barely. Come on.
Well,
making it sound like it's, like, egregiously high. It's a few points off of his career norm.
Well, 3% is a decent jump in strikeout rate. I mean, when you're getting up to 27%, that can start affecting your batting average.
Just shut your mouth. Trumbo's the best.
Yeah, we've got the biggest Mark Trumbo fan here. Sorry, I didn't mean to offend you, Jesse. Yeah.
You did. I own him everywhere. Except for, I think, in the team I just recently inherited, which is a sham.
You better trade for him.
I'm going to try.
Oh, maybe you could trade Adam Duvall for him.
Oh, I don't think I would.
You trade rape Joe for Adam Duvall. First thing you did when you got in the league, trade rape. I should kick you out. I mean, you got idiot, poor, stupid Joe over here.
He
doesn't know what he's
doing. He's hit more
I'm
than
just
doubled.
A newbie.
I've been in that league for 3 weeks, and he's doubled, more than doubled his home runs since I traded for him.
Guys, Adam Duvall is so awesome that he wasn't even in the starting lineup tonight, and he just got a stolen base.
Did he?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Man, I better mute myself and go give myself some more self-praise on Twitter for the Adam Duvall thing. So I'll be back.
There you go.
Okay, bye.
Okay, good. All right, well, my last guy and the last guy that we're going to talk about here is Aaron Nola. He is a guy who's easily going to eclipse 192 and a third innings this season.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think he might be right at 191 or so.
No, I think I'm going to take the over on that still.
Boy. You want to double down and do it again?
You're goddamn right I do.
No, I'm not doing that, no. But that would be funny, just to do the same bet twice, but...
Yeah, it'd be really beneficial for people. But no, I mean, I felt like he was just basically a workhorse, like sort of mid to back end starting pitcher coming into the season. He'd never shown a huge strikeout rate. I guess he did strike out over a batter per inning. It was only 32 2/3 innings last year at Triple A. But he's pitched like an absolute ace so far this year. 26.5%. Strikeout rate, strikeout minus walk rate, 21.7%. Just absolute ace-like like numbers, 2.98 ERA, and really everything here looks pretty legit. Pretty nice, 10.3% swinging strike rate. He's always had plus command, so there's no issue there. He's durable, and I think that's what separates him from some of the other guys, like maybe you know, some of the younger pitchers that we're seeing in the role this year. Like I would have said Vincent Velasquez before he got hurt. You know, maybe guys like Matt Moore, Aaron Sanchez, who will potentially be looking at an innings limit when you get towards the end of the year. I don't see Aaron Nola getting cut off at any point for any reason. So I feel really fully confident in him that he'll continue to maintain a pace pretty well close to this, which, I mean, that's, if he does this for the full rest of the season, he's got to be a top 20 starter next year, maybe top 15.
I agree. I didn't expect all the strikeouts, to be completely honest with you. It's been a really nice surprise.
I didn't either. Yeah. And it's, I mean, he's just throwing the curveball a ton more from what he did last year. 24% curveball rate last year, 33.7% on the curveball as far as his usage rate so far this year. So, I mean, I guess that you could probably just chalk it up to that. But I mean, that's, that's what you look for. That's the whole big sexy thing in fantasy baseball. You got to get those strikeouts. And actually, that's, I mean, just a tangent real quickly. That's something that I've identified myself. I don't know if this could even maybe be a whole discussion, so I don't know if we want to get into it or not. But like, one of the big weaknesses that I've found within my own game is the fact that I've sort of outsmarted myself in the way that I don't necessarily target the big strikeout guys, because they're big. Like, I don't need these big sexy strikeout guys. I can find these sort of Jose Quintana, you know, durable guys that always give you a quality start and you kind of know what you're going to get, but their strikeout rate is really depressed. And I'm finding that in all my leagues, I'm lacking in strikeouts because I don't, you know, I sort of cheap out and don't go for the big sexy strikeout Chris Sales and, you know, stuff like that in the world. So I don't know. What about you, Yancey? Do you think that you have any sort of like what's the weakness in your game? What's your kryptonite?
My kryptonite is, especially in auction leagues, I take stars and scrubs strategy like way too far. In the two auction leagues that I'm in next to last and last. And it's only because whenever you spend such a huge percentage of your salary, or, you know, the allotment that you're given to acquire players on just a handful of players, once one of them goes down or is underperforming, like a Giancarlo Stanton, who I was particularly high on this year, I mean, you're basically, you're done. You know what I mean? You don't have the salary to fill in holes and build out a, you know, an even keeled roster at all. What you were talking about with the strikeout pitchers, I had like the reverse effect of that, where for the first several years that I played fantasy, I was just obsessed with strikeouts and I ignored whip and all of their underlying peripherals like altogether. You know, so I was overdrafting guys like Ian Kennedy, who gets a ton of strikeouts, but will absolutely destroy you in every other, you know, rate stat. So
you be nice to Ian Kennedy now.
Whoa, do you realize you're on the nasty cast?
We like him around here.
Hey, nobody's perfect. But no, he's not a fantastic pitcher, and I think you guys could open your eyes a little bit and see that. But I was always...
You're wrong. I cannot open my eyes.
You would be wrong, yeah. I always put a premium on strikeouts, right? And it was to the deficit of basically every other category. Yeah, it's hard to adjust. Like one thing I did this year was I decided to pay up for two studs, and then the other ones would just be like league average starters. So like in my two auction leagues, I went really hard on Sale and Scherzer, which you're like, oh man, you must be wrecking, right? But man, you really have to have a solid rotation for that type of strategy to work. Like the stars and scrubs thing, you have to hit on a lot more, almost like flyers, you know, like lottery tickets, than is reasonably, you know, like you could reasonably expect them to. And that part's really killed me this year. I've learned a lot. I've had a ton of growing pains this year in fantasy baseball. It's actually been a really tough year for me.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that you're in the right as far as, well, at least in my opinion, because I've always been a guy who sort of cheaps out on pitching a little bit, because it's so much easier to find on the waiver wire throughout the season. You know, you get pop-up guys coming up all the time, all sorts of prospects, which prospects haven't worked out last year, especially in comparison to the crazy year that we had last year with all the youth. But one guy that I wanted to mention that you brought up, Giancarlo Stanton, I feel like he might be, you know, the opposite. We were talking about buying high. He might be a terrific buy low, because it seems like he's not injured as far as I know, and he's just too good. He's got too much raw power to be this bad. And I think that in a couple of weeks, we'll find out that, like, he, you know, instead of slapping himself on the ass when he walked up to the batting box, that he just decided to sneeze sideways instead, and like all of a sudden he hits 20 home runs in a month. You know,
I think it's exactly that.
Yeah, like some sort of just mechanical thing is off with him, and because he's never been this bad before. Well, and like I said, unless it's an injury that he's just not disclosing and we haven't heard anything about, I think that he's one mechanical adjustment away from being the Giancarlo Stanton that we've always known, and he can be, you know, obviously the guy that you drafted on draft, just a ton of raw power.
Do you
think
it's mechanical or mental? I know he gave up already once from the beanball in the face, but that's always in the back of your mind. He might have had one close call not long ago, and who knows? Who wants to get
hit
in the face?
It's not a mental thing at all, to be completely honest with you. If it were mental, he would still be wearing the face mask, which he's taken off. I mean, personally, I think that was the dopest like peripheral we've ever seen on a player, and like I wish that he would wear it all the time, because that is like so intimidating.
I agree, Yancey, but I don't know if it is. It's like, it's a just think of yourself there as a man. I mean, you want to be the man that doesn't need the face guard. Although I think it's cool looking, but you know, it's the man thing to do. You're in a man sport. Testosterone's all around you.
Oh my God.
People judge.
Well, I will say this: I, as far as like actual analysis, like Jesse tried, I guess.
Well, hey.
Right? If you guys pull up the StatCast leaderboard on MLB.com right now, in first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, ninth, tenth, and then you can literally go all the way down the top 50. All of the hardest hit balls this year are by Giancarlo Stanton. He's just recently he hit a ball 120.1 miles per hour, right? Even now, as he's making, you know, flyouts and warning track outs and line drive outs, he's hitting the ball ridiculously hard. If the line drive percentage went down at all, you know, if his hard hit percentage was down, I would be more concerned, but I'm not. It's just a matter of making contact with him.
See, Yancey, I'm not used to having a guy like you around where you can prove my thoughts wrong. Like, that, it's not mental if you're hitting the ball 120 mile an hour. So I'll take a back seat on this one. I know most people don't care what I have to say, but usually Joe and Nate can't, like, just prove me wrong like that, so... Thanks a lot. I'll just go to my corner. I don't even want to participate anymore. Good night.
Yeah, that's good. He kind of shamed you on that one.
Shame. Where's the shame bell from Game of Thrones? Because that would be awesome, right? Yeah. Shame bell. Yeah. Insert that here, Jesse.
Hey, Yancey, by the way, lose my number.
I will say that you're talking about hard hit balls, Yancey. I will say that the two hardest hit balls from this past weekend belong to Juan Uribe. I don't know if you saw that clip. But I did not.
Oh, yes, I did. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And the reason why he said he doesn't wear a cup, did you guys catch that?
No.
They asked him, they're like, you know, why aren't you wearing a cup, you know, a protective cup or whatever? To which he replied, they don't have one that fits me. Which is like the most statement ever. I hope that.
I liked Juan Uribe before. Now I love him. That is awesome. And by the way, I totally jacked that joke from somebody on the Prospect 361 Facebook group, so credit to whoever that dude was. But I really liked it, so I stole it.
So you guys going back to stealing jokes.
Yeah, hey, that's what we do on that. That's what I'm all about. Joe's about respect for women. I'm about stealing jokes.
You finally found what you're about.
Yep. Do you want to touch on your deficiencies, any weakness that you found in your own game, Joe, before we move on?
I just can't dance. That's my problem.
Okay.
You know, in terms of my game, I could tell you, but man, we better hit this fruit madness.
All right. That'll be the last of our fantasy baseball stuff then. So we're going to take a quick break and set up the fruit madness. We'll be back.
All right. So what happened is the BS segment ran so long that we decided to split this podcast up into two segments. So the BS segment will come out later this week as its own separate podcast. And until then, may the fantasy gods shine upon you.